All right, well, we'll get started this morning. Let's get our main passage, Nehemiah 6, 15 through 16. If Colby will get that for us, Nehemiah 6, 15 through 16. Isaiah 54, 17, Ryan Mayotte, if you'll get that. Nehemiah 6 and verse 1, Phil Arias, if you'll get that for us. Matthew 26, 31. Kenny, if you'll read that for us, Matthew 26, 31. Nehemiah 6, 3, I think that's the first time. Yeah, Nehemiah 6, 3, the first time, Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that. Nehemiah 6, 3, the second time, Gabe, if you'll read that. Nehemiah 6 and verse 8, Will, if you'll get that for us. Nehemiah 6 and verse 9. Cole, if you'll get that. Two more here. Nehemiah 6, 14. If you'll get that for us. Nehemiah 6, 14. Nehemiah 6, 16. Lastly there. Let me get Miles, if you'll get that for us. Nehemiah 6, 16. Okay. So, I want to look today at a lesson titled Working Through Resistance. And so I've worked with men that they have a very difficult time working when there's any kind of resistance. So if conditions get interrupted, if any kind of their rhythm becomes disorganized, they struggle, and in many ways they stop the work. Whatever that is, the work of ministry, the work of evangelism, the work of follow-up, the work in their marriage, the work in their parenting, etc., etc., the work of their work. They in many ways, they stop. So in the passage we're going to look at this morning, Nehemiah teaches us some valuable lessons on working through resistance. That's what I want to look at this morning, Nehemiah 6, 15 through 16.
So on October 2nd, the wall was finished, just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized his work had been done with the help of our God.
Okay, I want to look at this, working through resistance. Let's talk firstly about hell-inspired attacks. One of the ways that hell resists the work of God is through weapons formed. Let's read Isaiah 54, 17.
But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Okay, so that capture the beginning of that. No weapons formed. All kinds of different weapons that hell uses to come against the work of God, to come against the men of God. And so sometimes there's a lot of different weapons that hell uses, but one of the weapons formed is that hell moves through people. Let's read Nehemiah 6 and verse 1.
Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates.
Okay, so here is Nehemiah. Now we're getting the context of our passage that we read. Here he is rebuilding the wall. But these three men, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, they hear what he is doing and they begin to operate against Nehemiah. They begin to strategize to come against and bring resistance against what they were doing and against who was leading it, right? So both of those are at work, but it's coming through people. People are the weapon that is being formed to stop the work of God. So this is a very good illustration because this is still true today. In building the kingdom of God, you will face attacks. You will deal with weapons formed. you will encounter resistance, and sometimes that will come through people. So we have to think, first of all, why? Why does this happen? Number one is because it's a distraction. Hell wants to distract you from the work. That's all it is an interruption to slow things down, or it's an interruption to consume you, right? Sometimes when with certain problems, you can ignore them to a degree. You don't have to deal with it right away. But with people problems, there's something in us, man. We don't like that. It causes us to be consumed. We want to fix it. We want to resolve it. We want to deal with it, talk to them, all these different things. The third reason there is that why hell will do this is to intimidate you. Because sometimes people can be very intimidating. Their personality is intimidating. Their intellect is intimidating. Their power is intimidating. Their influence can be intimidating. So all of these things are at work. That would be the why. Now we have to think, for what? Right? You're doing a work for God. You're trying to build the kingdom of God. You're trying to do what God wants you to do. So where do these attacks stem from? Sometimes people will come against you for the stands that you make. Right? When you stand for righteousness, you're often standing against something. Right? It's someone's behavior, someone's sin, someone's decisions. You're making a stand against that. So here comes this rising up against you. Judgments that need to be made or had to be made, right? It's like, look, I wish it wasn't this way, but I didn't have a choice because I stand for righteousness. I stand for what the Bible says. I had to make a judgment on that. It's not what I wanted to do, right? It's not like pastors sit around just, you know, who can we deal with this week? Not at all. This is one of the harder parts of ministry. Judgments that have to be made, that needed to be made. So sometimes that causes, right? I've had people in the same day, Pastor, you're the best. Pastor, I love you. Pastor, you're number one. You make a judgment. Pastor, I hate you. Pastor, you're the worst. I wish you'd go away. Sometimes it's just because you are doing right. Here's Nehemiah. He's building the wall. He's reestablishing the security of the nation. He's putting things back into place. Just because you are doing right, sometimes hell will inspire attacks against you. So what matters is your response. This is what's important in working through resistance. It's not, don't be shocked if it ever happens, because we're working with people. We're in the people business. That may be part of it sometimes, but what matters is your response. Hell presses to see where you yield. Always is going to push and push a little more, because hell wants to know, what's your breaking point? Where do you give up? Where do you stop? For some men, they yield to certain people. And hell knows that. They yield with certain people. Their children. Yeah, man, they'll make great decisions, great stands. Then when it's their kids, they yield to that. Right? It could be your spouse, your wife. You yield to, you're making good decisions, but now she rises up in some way. Could be certain friends, right? Certain people, they cause you to want to stop the work. Think about Elijah. Elijah stands against 400 prophets of Baal. Right, there's this whole incredible turning of the nation from sin, from Baal worship to God. Right? In all of their theatrics, in all of their false religion, in all of their demonic demonstrations, God shows up on the scene. A miracle takes place. A miracle fire from heaven consumes the altar. But then Jezebel makes a threat and spins him out. Completely hijacks him. Completely derails everything he had labored for, everything he had witnessed, everything he had participated with God in. One person spins him out. I'll tell you, this is strategic. Let's read Matthew 26:31.
And then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered."
Okay, that's the part I want to highlight. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. The inspired attack at times comes directly against headship. Maybe you're in charge of a ministry. Maybe you're in charge of a band. Maybe you're in charge of an outreach, whatever that looks like. And yet hell strategizes, inspires people to interrupt, to disrupt, to intimidate. And so you must be aware of this possibility. Because when the enemy does that against headship, he wants to scatter or disorient the people of God, cause them to disperse. That there's nothing like unity. That's, it builds a momentum. You have the common vision, the common goal. But when there is an interruption in that, it causes people to separate, to divide, to that unity breaks apart. So these are the hell-inspired attacks. Sometimes, and what I'm focusing on in our passage, from people. So let's think secondly about working through resistance. Now, in all of this, Nehemiah works through the resistance. Let's read Nehemiah 6:3.
"So I sent messengers to them with this reply, 'I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?'"
Okay, this is Nehemiah's response where Brian just read, "I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. I do not want to stop while I leave to meet with you." He is working through the resistance. Gentlemen, you need to develop the ability to work through resistance. Just because you may come under attack doesn't mean everything can stop. Just because you step into now a season, hell is inspiring, hell is operating, you must develop a resistance, a pushback, a drive, right? I've shared with men at breakfast one of my prayers early on in ministry. I remember dealing with people problems and all of that, you know, tied up in it. I'm speak to you from personal experience. And I had spoken with Pastor Greg. He gave me some encouragement, prayed over me. And then out of that, I prayed a prayer. I said, "God, if I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, if this is what you've called me to do, if this is what you've called me to be, is to pastor, then if this is going to take my life and require it, then you've got to put something in me." And I began to pray, give me the faithfulness and the steadfastness, the resilience of Pastor Wayman Mitchell. That, you know, we've heard the stories of resistance. Pastor Greg recently in the Memorial Stones lessons, all of that, the adversity, the opposition, the rebellions, the, and those are just the highlights. I helped clean his office after his passing, and I digitized a mountain of conflict files, just things that he kept in place. There are all kinds of, and again, my prayer came back to mind in that. There's something at work, we need that. And Nehemiah understood the value of that. So we need to understand, where does that come from? How do you develop this? Not enough to say, you need resilience. Okay, but how do you get that? Number one, what we see in our story, and I encourage you to go back and read this chapter, but what we see in our story is, number one, Nehemiah understood calling. When you understand calling, even when there's adversity, resistance from people, because you have an understanding of what God has called you to, it changes everything. Nehemiah 6 and verse 3.
So I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I cannot come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you?
Okay, so here I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. In other words, I know what I have been called to do. And my calling does not involve meeting with you. Right? I'm focused. This is a distraction. I do not want, he says in there, I do not want the work to stop while I leave to meet with you. That's not the thing for me to do, because that's not my calling. See, this is something King Saul lacked. In his envy and in his rejection, he became distracted with something that was outside of his calling. Right, is here David gets the praise of the people. David begins to, there's this rise, and in his own envy, in his own rejection, he makes his life's mission to pursue David. That's not what he was called to do. His mission was to lead the people of God in the things of God, to conquer the enemies that surrounded them. But right, you read these stories, but the Philistines, yeah, but David. Yeah, but David isn't part of what God called us to do. This is why it's important. In that time that I referenced before, and calling Pastor Greg, as I'm wrestling with everything that's going on, he said, but God called you. And it just cut through everything. But God called you, and if he called you, then he's going to help you. I said, yes. And any time moving forward, as I began to pray, as I began to establish some things, calling became a more clear revelation, right? If this is what I'm called to do, that was the question that I spoke to God with. I talked to God about it. If I am supposed to do this, I got a revelation of calling, and then now I can navigate people better. It's not any more fun in adversity, but I can do it better now because I understand calling, because Nehemiah understood calling. Secondly, is Nehemiah understood truth. Let's read Nehemiah 6 and verse 8.
I sent word back to him, nothing has happened as you have claimed. You're making up these charges in your imagination.
Okay, so here I'm just highlighting Nehemiah's responses. You read the chapter, they respond back and forth. This was before text messages, so they had to write it out, and that's how it worked. So Nehemiah 6:8, he says another answer, right? Because they're saying all of these accusations, they're hurling these things, and he says, nothing you're saying is actually happening, though. You're fabricating things. You're creating complete scenarios. I mean, you should be an author, because this is quite a story. He says, this simply isn't true, and I don't have to dedicate my time. I don't have to commit my brain, my mind to this. I don't even have to defend myself against this, because it just isn't true. It's not true. You don't know how many things people say about me that just isn't true? I don't know, because I don't know. It's not true. Right? Really, though, it's like you get all of these different things, and think about Jesus. Think about all the accusations. I want to encourage you, when you're reading in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when they come against Jesus, the religious people, that don't understand, people in their own, focused on their own issues, their own problems, and they hurl all these things And Jesus, you know, he ignored most of them. Why? No, because he knew who he was, and he knew this is not true. It's just not true. I don't have to commit myself to that. I don't have to be distracted by that. Because there is always in life an unseen observer. And I trust the unseen observer with everything. God sees everything. God records everything. Vengeance is the Lord's. He makes right come out right. It may take some time. But if it's truth will always come to the surface. And I can trust that. That's a trust issue. Right? Some people, they did. Okay, but I can trust God and I can stay focused on the work. I can stay focused on the building and what God has called me to do. Finally then, this leads into our next part, is he trusted God. Nehemiah 6 and verse 9.
For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands.
Okay, so if you caught that there, I prayed, God, strengthen my hands, or other translations, make me strong. But before, they said, they're going to be weak. They're not going to have the strength to do. And how does Nehemiah respond? He puts his confidence in God, but God, I can trust you. And I can trust that what they're saying is going to happen. I can trust you're going to do the opposite. Because I know what you've called me to do. I understand the truth, and I trust you with it. And those are settled internally. You got to settle that in your own heart, in your own life. Nehemiah 6:14. I'm not sure, but I think I didn't make it clear there, Chris. I'll read that real quick.
I got it.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sambalot, according to these works and on the prophets Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that would have put me in fear.
Okay, so in there, I might have just pulled the wrong one. Nehemiah 6:14. Anyway, it's about, again, a prayer, right? Remember, oh my God. Right, so he's praying again, just a little bit of a different translation that I pulled. My God, remember. He's asking God to get involved, to bring to the surface what needs to happen. So we can learn and we can learn to work through resistance when we learn to trust God with the process, when we can give it to him. When we can say, okay, I'm going to do what I know I've been called to do. I'm going to accomplish what I know I've been called to accomplish. And it's possible. That's the point. It's possible to work through resistance. But these foundations, they must remain in place. You got to get these for yourself. And they are protective. That's what the result is. It's a protection. Number one, it protects you. Right? When you get caught up in what people are saying, what people are doing, and you become distracted, intimidated, with these in place, it protects you. There's a guard over your heart, over your mind. There's a security, a confidence at work in what you're doing. It protects the mission. Right? So many times, a mission, a church, an outreach, a concert can get so interrupted, so just distracted and consumed by a person, by a group. No, it protects the mission. This is what we're here to do. This is what we're here to accomplish. It protects the progress. Right, nothing slowed down in the rebuilding of the wall because Nehemiah didn't let it. That's something in us. I'm not gonna let these men interrupt what God wants to. I'm not gonna let their words, their lies, their strategy. I'm not going to let that happen. And he protects the progress. Let's close then. Let's talk about enemies put to shame. The victory of our passage is that in spite of these enemies working against Nehemiah, he completes the work, and by completing the work, the enemies were put to shame. Let's read Nehemiah 6:16. Okay, his translation says they lost their self-confidence. They were ashamed, right? When they saw this, God was involved in this. In all their attacks, in all of their self-righteousness, in all of their self-pride, and they are put to shame. Shamed or disheartened, another translation. His, again, self-confidence. Literally, though, literally that idea is to fall. They fell. Enemies will fall as you stay focused. As you complete the work, as you finish, enemies will fall. And the best part, they will know why. Very helpful. Sometimes I pray God judge the situation and that they would know why. Because when they know why, now that's going to hinder them later. No, I have been down that road. No, I know how God is with them. And they knew that. They understood God helped. God was involved. God clearly did call them to that. See, God will see to it that right comes out right, but you have to work through it. And that's where that resilience, that steadfastness, that faithfulness comes into play. You have to work through it. It can happen too often. Guys stop too soon. They get distracted with the wrong things. They fight the wrong battle, right? They're on the wrong battlefield. So, do the work through the fight, and the enemies, God will deal with them. So, the question then this morning is, how do you, or how have you, responded to resistance? What foundation that was in Nehemiah? What's missing in you? Is it the understanding calling? God called me, then he's going to help me. Is it understanding truth? I don't have to give my attention to this. Why? Because it's just not true. I don't have to defend myself. If I defended myself every single time, I would get no work done. It just would not happen. Trust. Maybe you don't trust God really. You're trying to trust in yourself, you're trying to trust in your talent, your ability, all these different things. You got to trust God, and you can work through the resistance, and progress doesn't have to stop. That's the results now. Things can get done. Things can get built. Okay, let's open it up for some questions in this line. Yep, Phil.
I know you addressed this about the people coming against him and what God was trying to do, but can you also apply the same types of guards that he used against other strategies of hell that are not necessarily people?
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely is, if it's not people, it's money. If it's not money, it's, you know, fill in the blank, but understanding calling, understanding truth, and trusting God. Absolutely, those could definitely be transferable.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they're fundamental, right? It's not just unique to the situation. They're actually fundamental truths applied to everything. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Make sure I quoted you correctly. You said hell will push to where you... I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah. Hell pushes to see where you will yield.
Yield, okay.
It wants to know, what's your breaking point? Where do you slow down? Again, for some people, like I'm pointing this and using this as an example, but for some people, it's people. People they, sometimes people they love or respect, right? But they're not healthy for them. People that have a hold on them, a manipulation on them, people that, you know, all the different ways that can look. Like I said, what was it in Elijah that he can stand and one threat derails everything? Partly, yes, it's spiritual, but there's something in him, right? Hell looks for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A lot of ways that can play out. Yeah. Good. Any other questions on this? Yeah, Micah.
So kind of like what Brian was saying, like finding the breaking point in what Ben's trying to find, like in work, if there's people, especially higher up, that would try to suppress talking about God, I still have kind of found ways that are still kind of organic. We can kind of still talk about it in a way that's not, you're trying to force it on people or something like that. Is that one of the ways to, like, if there's resistance about that, finding a way to kind of still, in a, you know,
yeah,
in a type of way like that?
Sure. Yeah. And again, you know, in the workplace, though, you know, it's a long-term game, right? It's a long-term testimony factor. So, yeah, like you're saying, and this question's come up before, is, you know, with resistance from higher ups, but your job is on the job is to do your job, right? Work honestly and be the best worker. That will shine. And when you earn favor then with those higher ups, right? I've been down the same road, but then I earned incredible favor, and then it was just less push and more pulled back. And so, yeah, but with that is sure, you can definitely find strategic ways to still plant a seed, sure. Like you said, things can come up organically. They asked a question, they, you know, were interested in something or overheard something, whatever. But yeah, you can then use that to your advantage to a degree, right? Still using wisdom intact. Yep. Good. Yeah, I am.
You said, would you say that, like, I guess resistance develops your calling or makes it, if that resistance is not there, then you're not going to, that's how you...
No, because it can be there without it, right? The revelation of your calling, it can be there without it. The problem is, or the good thing is, I let it teach me, right? I allowed it to teach me. Some men do not allow it to teach them. That's it. There's no, you know, but God called you. No, I don't care. I'm done. Right? Because it's just too much, right? I'm just treading lightly, but there are people that have come to mind that it just came to that point. I'm not going to do it. So, and that's with resistance. Other people, with resistance, without it, they understand it. That's why you got to pray for it. Give me a revelation of calling. And if you've called me to this, I trust you're going to help me. Right? That's a revelation. So that can come simply by revelation. God gives it. Or that can come through experience. That can come through a sermon. All different ways, yep. But you do need to ask God to help you settle and understand that, yep. Good. Yes, Sam.
What are some signs that you are getting distracted? Like, is it just slowed progress, just being distracted, or is there anything?
Well,
signs you're being slowed down.
Yeah, is like I said, it can completely consume you, right? So. How do I know this is overwhelming me is when I go to bed thinking about it, when I wake up thinking about it, when I'm working I think about it, I talk about it, you know, with maybe your wife, maybe your friends. It's flowing out of you. It's like, did I tell you? Yes, you did. Like, all week. So you listen for the feedback, right? Life will give you feedback. And so sometimes, you may not see it right away, but other people will help you flush it, right? You got to get rid of that. And so definitely when it's consuming you, it overwhelms you. Every detail or everything is interpreted. You're talking to someone, that reminds me of, it's like, how does that remind you of that situation? It's just because it's in you. Everything now becomes filtered through that. So, it's that consuming factor. Then, as a result of that, Sam, that's why the progress slows down. Because you're diverted. You're focused not on the work, whatever the work is, and you're focused on this other arena. Yeah. So that would be the result. Yeah. Good. Yes, Ben.
So, Pastor, how does that transition look like when, you're fighting resistance, right? And where you have to recognize, like, okay, this is where God's going to have to do the rest. Is as far as I can fight. How do you know when you should just keep pushing? I mean, obviously, God is helping you the whole way through, but I'm guessing at one point, God, you have to take care of this.
Yeah.
How does that transition look?
Yeah, that would be the third part of our working through it is the trust factor. So it's when you can give it to God, right? Is you may wake up thinking about it. No doubt, I've had issues, wrestled through things that they can be consuming. You wake up thinking about it. What do I do? What's my response? I pray. God, I'm giving this to you, right? Because the danger is, if you don't give it to God, then you start treating everyone else like they're Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom, right? Is you start treating them. There have been times that it spills over. Other people issues spill over. It's like, this person, they just came for some quick prayer, but you treated them like they were the enemy. That's not okay. So that's why you got to give it to God. If it starts to try to consume you in the day, on your job, in your witness, whatever, God, no, I'm getting rid of this. I trust you. You've got to help me, right? Is that's cast your cares upon him. But that's trust is what that is. And what you'll find is that begins to lift off of your life. That consuming, their words that, it gets on you. And so it begins to lift and you begin to find you're not thinking about it as much. It's not a filter over your perspective, over your eyes, your mind. And now you're getting things accomplished. Now you're seeing some momentum. If that's in ministry with visitors and people saved, with new converts, now you're getting some momentum. Discipleship is the focus, right? Is okay, no, there's some good men still, right? All these different ways, and you begin to see that transition as you give it to God. That's the trust factor. I trust you with the results, and I'm giving it to you, right? It's not that you're ignoring it. Nehemiah wasn't fully just ignoring it. He's just quickly, no, I'm not stopping. I'm not going to your demands. We're going to keep working, and in 52 days, he accomplishes what should have been impossible. And that's why when they see it, they go, God is with them. They fell, the enemy, and they knew why. So going back to that trust, you'll begin to see it transition in those ways. Good. Good, good, yeah.
Is this something that is healthy to rehearse with your wife because they can face resistance from people as well or feel things from people, but these are the same type of thing to encourage her through that?
Absolutely. And again, because they are fundamental, right? And sometimes, I don't know where that's coming from, but we're going to pray. We're going to give it to God because he's in control. He's going to help us. Yep. So you can definitely impart that into your wife. You impart that into your children, into your disciples, right? All these different ways. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Should you include your wife in every time that you face resistance, even if it's personal, obviously without being, you know, I don't know, like if it's is there times that it's unnecessary that, you know, you don't want to be pouring out on her?
Yeah, absolutely.
You might want to spin her out.
Exactly. Men have an ability to compartmentalize. Which Pastor Greg has said that's why a majority of serial killers are men. It's supposed to be a good thing. And so we have the ability to compartmentalize, and we have the ability to forgive a little bit easier. Typically, again, these are umbrella statements, but typically. So if you are dumping resistance on your wife, then people get right, you can handle it. Oh man, praise God they're doing right. And they're like, yeah, but I remember what they did.
Sure.
I remember what they said. I remember how they treated. That's not healthy for them. So yes, there are times it is not necessary. You might say, I'm just dealing with some situations. I just need you to pray for me. People are, you know, there's some people coming against, so I just need you to help me pray, right? It may not be healthy because some of that coming against might be influenced by another factor, by another person who really isn't right, and they just come under their influence. So that's possible, right? Is you have to use discernment. And it's just not going to be healthy for her.
And what does it look like to compartmentalize? Like, I hear that a lot. I'm not sure if I have that ability.
Sure, sure. Compartmentalizing is just the ability to do what we're talking about, right? I can take information and I can either flush it. Right? That's a skill. Get rid of it. I'm not going to think about it. And if I do, I'm going to pray. Compartmentalize means I can put things away. I imagine a kitchen full of drawers and cupboards, and okay, put that in there, close that. Now I need to focus on my marriage, focus on my children, focus on ministry, right? You open up a different drawer, but that's put away until I need to deal with it, until I need to address it again, right? It's the ability to put things aside and focus on whatever task. Problem is when you go and you're holding on to that in every other detail of life, that's where it becomes problematic. So you gotta pray, God, give me. And how do you get that? You need to pray for just a greater capacity, right? God, I need a bigger capacity internally to where I can put things away. I can set things aside and focus on whatever I need to focus on. Right? There have been times I've counseled, right, maybe two pretty heavy sessions in a row, and then go and worship God and preach hope. Mm-hmm. That's compartmentalizing. Mm. And not treat those two different scenarios the same. Okay, that conversation's done. I can put that away. Now let's talk here. Okay, now I can put that away. And now I can go and greet people and smile. And it's not an act. It's the ability to put things aside.
Did you ever have to write anything, write it down, or you know, I mean, I'm sure some stuff you won't ever forget, you know, and you'll remember it later, but are there small situations that you have to remember, gotta address this later or whatever, that you have to write down? Or?
Yeah, before definitely more, now there's more mental notes, you know, just, you again, that capacity, you have I call it filing, you just have these files, you tuck things away mentally, and so it's on my radar or something that needs to, but then sometimes, yeah, I need to address that, but it's a timing issue, right? It's not the time for that. Let's wait until, right? Or it's opportunity. I need the right opportunity. Now I just pray, leave that with God. So that's a capacity. You gotta pray, God, enlarge my capacity. Yep, good. Very good. All right. I just want to pray this morning, just believe God for a supernatural favor this morning, that God's just going to have right of way. We're going to have visitors, people saved, people helped. We're going to pray for tonight's sermon, this anointing upon Pastor Pepich, that it's going to be supernatural. I'm believing God for the Holy Ghost today. I just want to pray. Let's believe God together. Father God, right now, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Father God, I pray that you are going to move. I rebuke every opposition.
There will be liberty.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to have a good service. We're going to have a good time this morning. God bless you guys. Good questions.